Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, loved ones. As always, it is such an honor, it is a privilege and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath that corresponds with July the 8th, 2017. For as I always say and mean it from the depths of my heart, I am so grateful and thankful to the Almighty, Most High, true and living, one and only, awesome God, the God of Israel, the true and living God indeed, again, and his only begotten and beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased, who he raised from the dead, having been buried in the earth for 3 days and three nights, died for our sins, the sins of humanity that was put upon humanity through Adam, the first man, however removed from the last Adam, the Son of the Most High God, Yah, that sin of Adam, so that we no longer have Adam as our excuse for sin, but we do have Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our excuse for righteousness, for holiness, for being made reconciled to the Most High God, Yah. That is a gift of life that supersedes anything imaginable. They don't have a commodity. They don't have a currency. They don't have anything on this earth that can outweigh, that can outvalue the gift of life that Yah has given us through his only begotten and beloved Son, Yeshua the Messiah. For that I am eternally grateful. And I trust the Lord that you all are as well in these times. So I say grace and peace to the brothers and sisters that are spread abroad from the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and from our God, the awesome, almighty God, God Yah. Indeed, you know, we are in a time where the saints, we need to strengthen one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to make sure that one another is edified and that we empower one another, because these are the perilous times. These are the dangerous times that was foretold us. These are the difficult time that was prophesied to us. And for that matter, it behooves us to be considerate of one another with regard to being of the brotherhood. Excuse me, being of the same family, being of the body of Yeshua, that we be in one another's best interest. It's not a popular thing nowadays because being in one another's best interest may mean that you would have to say what is not popular. You know, for that matter, you would have to tell the truth. You would have to esteem people in their flesh. But this is not what the children of Yah do. We do not esteem people or one another in our flesh. We build the spirit man. We esteem one another spiritually. And it's difficult in a time where the flesh wants to rule. We're dealing with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. People want to see. People want to feel. People want to think in the way that is geared from media, television, you know, being bombarded with all the things of this world, and making them so desirable, making them so appealing, and then having those that people believe to be attractive, to be servants of Satan, and selling this lie, selling these dreams, selling this death, this poison into the people, and the people buying it free of charge, as well as buying it, paying money. So they whatever means they can get it, whether it's free or whether they can purchase it. And what I mean free is, I'm saying it not in such a way of currency, but just without any type of resistance. People just want to just take in these spirits from these servants of the world and of Satan that have been set in position to be icons, if you will, and have a following, to have fans, you know, that follow their every move, want to hear everything they have to say, from Beyonce to Jay-Z to Jennifer Lopez, and, you know, such other entertainers and celebrities, and even pastors and preachers, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, even the president have fans, Donald Trump. You know, men and women are priding themselves on other men and women. And it's really sad because this gift of life that was given to us through Yeshua the Messiah by the Most High God, Yah, and he is a jealous God. Make no mistake about it. He created man to glorify him. He created man in his own image and likeness. He did not create man to be ugly and to be foul and vile and sinful and wretched and murderous and violent and hateful and racist. He did not create men to be like that. But then when men made out of his own self-will to be in the image and likeness of what sin has done, then we have the state of the world that we're in. And so we have the state of the world where people would prefer to run to and be accepted of men. They want to put confidence and trust in men and not in God, Yah. So for that matter, it brings me to my topic, which is the God of my salvation. You know, we need the God of our salvation. It's very important for us to understand the value of this salvation and understand the value of what this means from our God, you know, in such a time that we are living in right now. I was just looking on the word of salvation and it is the act of saving someone from sin or evil. There is no other God in the world that take an interest in mankind like the true and living God. The premise of my, or the scripture base for my lesson is from Psalms 25, and I'll go into it. But so folks nowadays want everyone except the true and living one, the Most High God. And that's the problem in this world. But in reading, and I'm just going to read a few verses of Psalms 25, because many of us, you know, we weren't born into wealth. We weren't born into privilege. And, you know, that others have been into. And God has always shown himself to be faithful. He don't show up a lot of times when we want to. And he doesn't give us a lot that we want, that our heart desire. But it does not mean that he's not faithful and that he has not had his eye upon us and that we were not in his care and concern and that his best interest was not for us. It never meant that. God is faithful such that we can count on his name's sake. You know, we can count on his righteousness' sake. We can count on his faithfulness' sake. You know, for God is a helper. And we're going to get into this, and this is why he's the God of our salvation. When we read Psalm 25, and it's a prayer, you know, it gives us a protection and it gives us guidance. And it's one that is very familiar. And it says, "Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yes, let none that wait on you." And this wait is a waiting in faith, that rely on you in faith. For we don't see God, but we believe him, and that is faith. So it says, and it continues, "Let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Let them be ashamed that transgress, that sin, that deal treacherously, that deal maliciously. Let them be ashamed. Don't let the saints be ashamed." And it continues, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. The God of my salvation. And I'm going to go even further in this, because this is so good. It says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have ever been of old. Remember your loving kindness. Father, remember your tender mercies, for you have always been this way, Father. This is you. But then listen what David says here. He says, remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake. O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Good and upright, not me in and of myself. I have nothing to boast on. I'm not good. I'm not upright in and of myself. So I rely on you, Father. You are good, and you are upright, and you are the Lord. Therefore, when he teach the sinners this, the way, I am a student of yours. I don't instruct you, Father. I don't have omniscience. I don't have all knowledge. I don't have all power. I don't have all understanding. Father, this belongs to you. So I humble myself and I cry unto you in this sinful state that I acknowledge myself to be in this frail human body that I am in. Father, I acknowledge that I need you. It is you. A lot of times we are perceived, or we think, a lot of us think ourselves to be stronger than we really are in this faith. And we begin to boast and brag and have a sense of pride. And not only in this faith, just in the world. You look at the entertainers. You look at the celebrities. They have such an arrogance and such a pride. And it is foolish because they don't know how frail they are. You can take a germ that you or bacteria. I don't care how healthy, how big. I don't care how rich. I don't care what status you have in society. I don't care if you're part of the elite group, the Illuminati. I don't care if you're a member of the Rothschild family, the Rockefeller family, or, you know, just these very earthly, carnally powerful families in the earth that really rule the earth and is ruling the world, for that matter, ruling this world, should I say, and ruining this world. They don't rule the earth. Yah rules the earth. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. But they own this world, and they are ruling it and ruining lives. But I don't care who they are, whatever status, whatever class, that something that can't be seen with the naked eye, such as a virus, such as a bacteria, something, can bring to ruins that man or that woman, can sicken you. It really shows just how frail this body is. And so when people begin to boast in themselves and think themselves to be more than they are because of their status in life, because of their political position, because of their financial wealth and their celebrityism and different things, they're just fools. It just takes one a mishap in life. Eat a bad meal, breathe in a harmful substance, you know, over the course of time, the cell of a cancer get in your body. Man, we're so easy for Yah to destroy, it ain't funny. All this pride and boasting and jumping and celebrating and, you know, thumbing your nose at God and saying this pride in the immorality, the pride in the fact that you can be with another man, pride in abomination. A man can sleep with another man, and they call that pride. They don't want to call it gay no more. You know, the pride of the fact that you can buy material things and you know, your music is about the women, the money, and the materialism, and you just pride yourself, and you just made up, you just inflated because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is fulfilled because you got followers and you got people that are making you rich and setting you on a pedestal. But the thing about it is that we are all so frail and subject to death at any given moment. Incidents, accidents, sicknesses, diseases, all of these things can happen at any given moment. But by the goodness of Yah, because he is good, and it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And so in this, when we deal with salvation, you know, so he says that the God of my salvation, you are the God of my salvation. You are the God. You save me. You save me from sin and from evil. When I don't do the evil that my heart desire, when I don't do the evil that my flesh is wanting to do, that's you. That is salvation, Father. That is not my strength. You save me from evil and from sin. And then salvation is also something that saves someone from someone or something. It is something that saves someone or something from danger or a difficult situation. Many of us are at our last, whether we're ready to give up, whether we run out of, we're on our last meal, we're on our last dollar, you know, whether we're on our last amount of savings, for that matter, the last dollar, whatever the situation is, you know, we're at our wit's end. We're on our last leg. Many of us are there in and of ourselves. The God of my salvation is the one that when I have come to the end, that he extends through the mercy and through the grace, through the love that he has for me. And he changed the conditions and the situations, and it's what we would call a miracle. God is a miracle worker. He can take that last. He can take where there is no way of seeing beyond the present state and condition that we're in. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do for these children. I don't know what I'm going to do for these debts that I owe. I have nothing. I'm exhausted. I'm tapped out. I don't have any money. I can't pay my rent. I can't meet the other obligations that allow me to maintain in this culture, in this capitalist society that we owe, and we are enslaved. We are in debt. Americans are in more debt than any other people in the nation, and this is the wealthiest and most powerful nation, but it is a nation of slaves. Starting from the slaves, the enslavement of what they did to black people, of course, Judah, the true children of Israel, it just transitioned from that slavery into another form of slavery. But this nation has always been built and maintained through bondage, whether it is, as I say, the bondage and the slavery that they, that the evil and wicked slavery that they put upon my people, heartless. But then being enslaved with bankers and the financial slavery of the financial institution that is without the same mercy that the founding fathers had on my people in this nation. No love whatsoever, but it is a nation of enslaved people. And so that to get through this nation and to get through the day-to-day living, that it takes the power of God to act on our behalf, and we cry out to him. So, I think in this respect, because going back into this scripture when it says, in verse 2, oh, my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. It is a design of Satan, and this is particularly for the children of God. Saints, as Ephesians 6:12 say, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. See, it is, and that's not to say we don't fight against flesh and blood as though there is not contention there, as though there's not a formidable enemy in flesh and blood. The spirits work through flesh and blood. But what Paul was saying for us, it is not for us to engage in carnal and fleshly battles. Evil for evil, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. We're not fighting in that regard, but we're going to an even more formidable enemy, an even more powerful force that influences the people that we are seeing that do evil against us. We're dealing with their leader in the kingdom of Satan, in Satan's realm, in the spiritual realm. So we're fighting against those entities, those people in high places, and we're fighting from a spiritual perspective and not from a carnal perspective. And this is why I say, and that this fight includes this. You know, when we consider in these days of protests, what we really need to be protesting, and particularly our people, black people, the tribe of Judah, I call our people Judah, and even if they're from the other 11 tribes, they still got to be Judah, because now the seed is of Yeshua. Even the other 10 and a half tribes outside of Benjamin and Judah, even those other tribes got to come through Yeshua the Messiah. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Salvation is in no other name. Salvation is of the Jews. The Jews is Judah. So even the Israel as a whole have to be born again, coming through the seed who is Yeshua the Messiah, got to come. So that makes all of us of the tribe of Judah. Even the Gentiles got to come through Judah, because they got to come through the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah. They got to come through Jesus Christ. And when you come through Jesus Christ, then you are born again. And the product that is born again, the child that is born again, is now the seed of Yeshua. So it's Judah all together. In this day and time, it's all about Judah, because it's all about Yeshua the Messiah. 11 tribes, Israel, with however they're divided, it don't matter. They got to come to be saved. For salvation, got to come through Judah, through Yeshua. As simple as that. But black people, what we need to be protesting, and there's a lot to be said about the unfairness, the injustices. It's a lot to be said about the killings, the police just openly killing people. It's a lot to be said about how our government, the ill policies, the domestic and foreign, you know, just the destabilizing the whole world everywhere America goes. And I know people get tired of the talk about America, but more so about the talk about America that people should be tired of. And you want a day where you just have some positives and some good things to say or whatever. And that's true. But for me, truth is always good. I don't care what it is, as long as it's true. So if I'm not lying on nobody or somebody else is not lying, then that's good if you're telling the truth about whatever it is. But the point is as long as this nation continues to do evil and they are blatant about it, then it's a subject matter to be spoken on. You want to stop all the negative, what people consider negative talk? Well, stop all of our leaders that is supposed to be elected official and leaders in the best interest of the people. Have them to stop their wickedness. You want to stop the talk about racism and what you call the race card? Stop dealing, stop playing with the deck and dealing the cards. Stop the racism. Stop the hate. Never seen a people so thin-skinned that they get so easily offended, but they offend so egregiously. But yet they're easily offended, but their wickedness know no bounds. Their offense know no bounds. Their hurt, their destruction, their violence, their hatred know no bounds. But at the same time, they don't want you to talk about it. They don't want to deal with that real-life issue that's affecting millions of people, affecting nations, affecting societies that don't look like them, that are not pale skin and not pink skin, that are not of European descent. And then when the people cry out, they have the nerve to get upset because you're protesting with the laws that they give you the right to do. And they get upset. They don't even respect their own laws because they're lawless people. But as I said, they don't want you to point out what they're doing. They want you to be quiet while they do their wickedness and their evil. And for them, they don't see it as wickedness. They don't see it as evil. They don't see the disaster, the destabilization of these nations going in the Middle East, instigating with China, coming into black communities. You know, the police have stopped, and you call them to de-escalate a situation in the black communities, a domestic call or whatever. And, you know, or they may have what they would call means to want to question you. But then you even look in that situation, how they escalate. You know, they use profanity, you know, not becoming of the professionalism, you know, not becoming of the honor of the nation when they go into these nations. And everywhere they go in the name of peace, they bring death. They bring destruction. You know, they bring instability, they bring chaos and havoc, and the people suffer more in the hands of Americans and Europeans than they suffer under who are their own people, from their own leader, from their own people that America demonized, such as Saddam Hussein. The people were better off with Saddam Hussein than they are with what America has established in their nation. And the same in all these other nations. That America always meddling in these people's affairs. So I say this, so there's a lot to protest in America and abroad because this wicked government, the ill policies, the evil policies that they are executing in the world. But see, we need to protest, and I said black people in particular, you know, because we are the worst offended in this nation, but this can be for all Americans. But particularly, I'm going to get even more particular, at least for the saints, the believers. And that's no respect of color. That's no respect of race when you come into Yeshua the Messiah. But we need to be protesting our behavior. We need to be protesting the conduct, the spiritual and mental state that we're in. The way that we communicate, we need to protest this Gentile culture that is most devastating to us, particularly as a people and as a nation of God. We need to be protesting. Man, we need to be protesting the divorces. We need to be protesting the ungodly separations that are going on that open the door for adultery, that open the door for fornication, that opens the door for feminism, that evil and wicked spirit of wanting to be independent, wanting to be in the power, particularly for women, that God did not ordain, for he gave the decree to women. But in the God of this world, it has reversed that decree that God, which was really for her honor, for her grace, that God had given to her. But this world system takes away that decree and establishes to where woman now be independent. Learn all you can do. Rise above the man. You know, shun leadership of a man, the headship of a man. You begin the headship. And it's increasing more and more in this day and time that women are more bold. You look at the way women drive nowadays. A lot of the aggression on the road, and you look who's behind the wheel, it's women nowadays. And it was sad of a young lady, a college student, black young lady that was shot in the head from a Caucasian man. What they revealed in their investigation, they were both jockeying for merging on the lane. Now, I don't know to say that that's that sister's, that was her situation, but I do know this, that a lot of these women are behind the wheel, and they have such a rage and they have such an aggression that is it is unbecoming of them, and it is ungodly, and it is the spirit of the God of this world, and it puts them in danger that the pride of this nation gets into them, and it empowers them, it emboldens them, but they don't understand the danger and the risk when they come into that nature, dealing in this world amongst men. So this whole world is like an animal kingdom now, and even in the animal kingdom, in most species, the male is the dominant species, unless you're a hyena. And in some aspects, America and Europe represent the hyena species in the behavior, doing everything to castrate a man, to ostracize a man, particularly black men, but and to esteem the women and to fill the woman with testosterone and take away her gentleness and her kindness and her femininity that God has given that made her so precious and so beautiful in the likeness of Yah. They have stripped that away. So now she has no shame. She can be out there showing her body with any type of clothing. She can be a stripper and not feel nothing about it. She can be exploited in her body and not feel no shame. And still in the same mindset, the double-mindedness of this, where they want the best of both worlds. They want to be the imagery and the empowerment that Satan gives them, but then at the same time, they want to be what God has ordained on them, to be the weaker vessel. So what do I mean? For example, a woman would challenge, run up to a man and challenge a man, a word for word, and if she can whip on him, hit on him and everything. And then when it gets to her disadvantage and she's losing, then she'll cry out to the police or cry out in the state of a woman. She plays both roles. And then she'll go to the court and she'll be the woman in that arena, in that instance. She'll be the woman when she wants something. You know, when she, at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock in the morning, going to a man's house with a miniskirt on and no panties, and she'll be a woman. She'll use her femininity in that sense. But she got a plot in her mind. And the minute that sexual encounter happened, then she leaves and she says he raped her. And then she becomes to be emboldened by what the culture has given her, the devil, God of this world has given her. That this stuff happens all the time. And so they want the best of both worlds. They use what God has given them to exploit God in the essence and use their womanhood in the ill manner, and so that it's chaos. But just this aggression with women on the road now, you know, so the culture and the desire to be single mothers, that's not permissible in the kingdom of heaven, not by choice. If you are, your husband better be dead, but you can't be no, it is a shame in the kingdom of heaven. We must understand the things that are not a shame today don't reflect heaven. See, it's not a shame for a man to be with another man. This is why the Psalms of David, this is why he said, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. But see, those that transgress without a cause, there's no justification for a man to want to be another man. There's no justification for most of the divorces, for the single parenthood. There's no justification for a woman want to be naked and stripped and have no shame about herself and no honor, no dignity, no respect for herself. There's no justification for her to not be in this vein like this. I don't care what you need. You are priceless. There's no justification for you to sell your body, to be a harlot. You have not exercised faith. You have not tapped into the value of yourself. There's no justified cause. But see, in the world of the wicked, they don't have no shame in their transgression. There is no shame in sin. There is boldness in sin. So there's boldness in stripping now. You can feel good about stripping. You can feel good about being promiscuous. You can feel good about racism and hatred, especially in this day and time now with Donald Trump and the spirit that encompasses him, that is such a prideful spirit, that any evil and every spirit that is not of God in this day and time is going to be emboldened even more than what it was in the previous administrations. Is going to increase because this man not only embodies racism, but he embodies pride, and that spirit is the gateway, and through him it opens itself up, and people are going to have the pride to be whatever, do whatever, say whatever, even more so now. And the degradation is even worse. But it's the sinner that should be ashamed, not the righteous. But when we take on the culture, when we take on the nature of the association, bring about the assimilation of the oppressor, of the wicked, then we have these things and we're not conscious and we're not ashamed. Man, why am I in this state that goes totally contrary to what the books say? Where the filthy communication, how is it that I'm giving my body to all these different trying out this girlfriend and this boyfriend and don't work, try out another one. I don't have a husband. I'm sexually intimate, but I don't have a wife. I'm not committed to a woman. I'm not faithful to a woman in the sense of being responsible to a woman. How is it that I can feel good as a man and I'm not, like I said, I feel good that I'm just messing with any and every woman. I have children, but I'm not with the mothers or mother, whatever. How is it? We should be ashamed of this, but we're not, because we've drunk. It goes into what I said, the protests. We should protest this Gentile culture that is most devastating to us, particularly black people. It is most devastating to us. See, the Gentiles, they can thrive in their own culture. It's their nature. But we, on the other hand, are out of our element. We can't thrive and do well in a Gentile state of mind where the destruction of family, where the emboldenment of our women to turn against us, we can't thrive in that. We're not deeply rooted in a sense that they are, where the unnatural things, where the ungodly things is big business for them as a people. Everything that the Gentiles acquire, they acquire through sin, through maliciousness, through violence, through those means that Satan had empowered them. When we're chosen by Yah, then he is our salvation. He is our strength. So it's like drinking water in Mexico or some foreign country where the people's immune system is used to their natural environment so that it doesn't make them sick when they drink it. You're not used to that environment. You drink the water in Mexico and these foreign countries, you get sick. The Gentiles, they're sick in their mind, but it's a natural sickness. They're sick in their mind when you consider from a mind of Yeshua perspective, the mind of the Messiah, the mind of Christ perspective of the wickedness and the evil. Then you understand that they're sick. But see, they don't know they're sick because it's natural for them. And then because the assimilation, our people don't know that we're sick and being like them, and we don't understand that we're aiding and abetting the design that has been against black families for so long. And we don't have the wherewithal and capacity to consider and to repent and change course and make proper amends, make proper reconciliation, a couple at a time, a community at a time, a family at a time, you know, and begin in that direction and let it be of influence to others when they see the goodness of Yah. We don't have that sensibility because we're blinded. So the God of our salvation is not effective in our lives. And this is dangerous because he is the God of our salvation. He is the one that sustains us. You know, looking at Psalms 82, just going to a few other scriptures, Psalms 18, verse 2 and 5. Going into a few scriptures again. The God of our salvation. See, we put trust into the wrong God, the God of this world. You know, what was that? I believe that's Ephesians. You know, speak of the God of this world. We put our trust in the wrong entity. And for that matter, in putting our trust in the wrong entity, we separate ourselves from the true and loving God. When I said the wrong entity, meaning Satan and his kingdom, people are putting their trust, and this is why I'm saying you're protesting the wrong things. Because when you have the God of your salvation, when you get into right standing with the God of your salvation, then he comes and he fights for you. There will be no need for you to protest. Because once you are oppressed and you belong to God and you are people of righteousness and you are people that wear his namesake proudly and bring honor to it and bring integrity to it, and he is pleased with you as a people and you uphold his righteousness and his standard and you embrace godliness and you embrace the things of God, you don't have to cry out against your enemy. God would come and defend us. But see, we got our priorities wrong. We need to be protesting this ungodliness. We need to be protesting the wickedness. We need to be protesting our own corruption and our own ill behavior and our own ill conduct. We need to be protesting. We need to be against the flesh. We need to be against the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. We need to be against the love of this world. That's what we need to be against. That's what we need to protest. And in protesting that we take advantage of the love and mercy of God and be reconciled and come into repentance with him to be reconciled. This is where it is for us. But as long as we are separated from God, we're going to be left to where we can't examine ourselves, where we can't consider our own faults, our own conduct, and our own behavior, because the Holy Spirit is not working within us, and we cannot be self-examining of ourselves to know, understand the error of our ways, understand our deep corruption, understand the standard that has been degraded that Yah had established in us, because we're not connected, we're not in the Holy Spirit. So all we're resolved to do is to protest in the flesh, because our spirit man is diminished, our spirit man is weakened, our spirit man is dry. There's nothing to it, and the only thing, the only semblance of life that we have in our spirit man is religion. And religion is not the answer for the spiritual being of Yeshua the Messiah. Religion caters to the flesh. This is why you got religious leaders that's doing well materialistically. This is why you got religious leaders that are giving into the flesh, and all kind of scandals is upon them. There are more Eddie Longs, many more of them. His seat was made empty, but they got many more. All sexual perversion, committing adultery, committing fornication, homosexuality or sodomy, they're committing sodomy. They love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. They're unfaithful. They're untrustworthy. They are liars. All in the Christian religion, church. And then I'll just say, just as many believers in Yeshua, the Messiah, religious leaders, all in the flesh. And so when Yah is not our salvation, because we're not connected to him spiritually, like how the scripture says to be, most people are connected to another God. They're connected to the Antichrist and the imposter who appears as an angel of light and who uses religion in place of the Holy Spirit. So you get a feeling. You go to these churches, you get a good feeling with the music. You know, the whooping and the hollering. The atmosphere is created to have just a good feeling, but it's a feeling. But the people leave, and not soon after they leave, they go back to the natural state of the flesh. And in that, the culture, the profanities, the vulgarities, the anger, and all of these things, you know, the lewdness, accepting even when our children go against what the saints should have, what the saints teach them or should have taught them, the parents. Children come. I don't know how some of these fathers let these daughters wear the clothes they're wearing. I seen yesterday a family, husband, wife, and a daughter, and she has shorts so tight that her butt cheeks was hanging out the shorts, and her dad was right there. And I see that far too often. I don't understand it. But see, we're not reaching out to the God of our salvation. Because as I was going to say, the God of this world says, wherein in time, this is Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's the God of this world. That's the God of this world. This is what people are working in now. The Lord, the God of your salvation. And be in a state of sin. And be in a state of rebellion and disobedience. You are deceived. And there's a lot of people that are deceived and thinking that they're serving God and not coming to know that you're really serving the God of this world. You're really serving Satan. And they haven't come to terms to understand this. And it's really sad because the God of our salvation, the value in him being the God of our salvation is to save us from the judgment to come. At his hand, from his vengeance. People scared of the government. You scared of the FBI. You scared of the NSA. You scared of the CIA. You scared of these earthly carnal entities. Scared of the police. You scared of the wrong people. They can only kill the flesh. You need to be afraid of the one that not only can kill your flesh, but he can destroy your soul. That's what we need to be afraid of. And in reference to the God of this world, to parallel what I just read in Ephesians, but in 2 Corinthians 4:4 is more precise. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he tells them, you know, he's saying if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Yeshua the Messiah, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Yeshua's sake. Who minds are blinded by the God of this world. Look at your state that you're in. Look at the state that I am in. And let's be honest with ourselves, and so that we can come about and be repentant. And then we can make God the God of our salvation, that we can make him the God of our help, the God of our difficult situation. Because at present, we are deceived and we're relying on the God of this world and his servants that appear as angels of light, religious leaders, political leaders, corporate, whomever you follow, friends, family, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, men, women, girlfriends, boyfriends, which I say that's the way of the world. I don't believe in boyfriends and girlfriends and not be with the benefits of marriage, but you're not committed in marriage. So then if this girlfriend or boyfriend don't work out, then you get another one, and all the while you're just passing yourself along, dishonoring your body. A man dishonor his own body and dishonoring the body of a woman instead of being in marriage and having a commitment and a wherewithal through Yeshua to press through. People give up so easy. I was there. That's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you, because I am so grateful and thankful that Yah caught me in midstream and had me to consider and then to repent, which is to turn back and to make right. I purposed divorce. I'm happy about it. It's good being single. And it would be definitely good to be single and to be in the vein of the culture. But I thank Yah for stopping me in midstream and say, hey, consider, because you're saying you're in me, but this is not of me. This is of the culture, the Gentile culture. Consider your family. Consider your wife. I do my part. Whether the other party accept it. See, I always say this. I'm 100% guilty, so I have to be 100% accountable for my part. The other party, that's their relationship. That's their business with Yah. They got to give an account. I'm just thankful to Yah that he touched and impressed upon me to consider my ways and to make the necessary changes back in a direction that's favorable with him. So that if I am divorced, if I sought to be reconciled because I realized it was wrong, if that was denied or rejected, if my reaching out to my ex was rejected, I've done my part. The rest is on them. Or if you're a wife and you sought your husband out, you wanted to leave, and you realized you was wrong, and you went and sought repentance, particularly if you ain't been messing with another man, or if your husband wanted to leave, but you sought to be there to maintain the marriage, and he didn't, you save your own soul. You save yourself. And this is why, and it goes to the scripture that I, in Philippians 2 and 12. See, when we say the Lord God is our salvation, we have to understand the God of my salvation, the God of my salvation. We have to understand that that's possessive in a sense of that's ownership of you. You have to value your own salvation. And in valuing your own salvation, it means that you value your own soul. You have to understand your soul, the value of it. And if you come to terms to understand the value of your own soul, then you begin to know that it's priceless and that there is nothing. There is no one. There is no place. There is no thing that is worth you losing your soul. So the God of my salvation, you are entrusting it to when you know that in your hands you cannot maintain yourself, you cannot maintain your salvation, so you give it over to the Lord to maintain it, and therefore you put yourself in subjection to him, you put yourself under the subjection of his word, then your salvation is in a good place. You have made a great investment. When you deposit your funds in a strong bank where it is guaranteed interest, and some type of monetary product that you can gain interest and you know that the bank is not going to fold, you are wise. It's the same thing with your soul and spirit with Yah. We must entrust our salvation unto him, for he is the one that has given it to us and promised it to us. We need to return it back, but in returning it back, we have to submit and come under the conditions that Yah has set to be in him. So that means we followed his word, the instruction of his word, the precepts, the laws, the order, and we work it with grace. And so that Philippians 2 and 12, it tells us, Paul makes it very clear. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's your salvation, the God of my salvation. And then Paul said, work out your own salvation. You got to understand, you want to be saved. You want your soul saved. And there is nothing worth you losing your soul to the wrath and vengeance of God. So you do whatever you have to do. You humble yourself. You break that pride. You make whatever adjustments you got to make for your salvation's sake. not to be pretty, not to be seen, not to be in pride, not to do all these things. Man, you humble yourself. You do what's in the best interest of your soul, because everything that people are giving in exchange for their soul today in this world, this three-dimensional world, when they stand before God, saints, hear me, they're going to all want to give it back when they realize the value of their soul. Bill Gates will love to give back. He's going to beg to give back all the billions that he acquired in this world. Beyonce, Jay-Z, all these entertainers, they're going to want to give back the fame. They're going to want to give back the fortune when they stand before God and realize that none of these things in the world, these corruptible things in this world, matter to God. And it was their soul that mattered, that stood before God. Everything else burnt up. It was corruptible from the beginning, and it cannot, corruption cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. The corruptible things cannot go into the kingdom of heaven. They're going to want to beg to give it all back and have another chance. That's how precious and valuable your soul is. What do it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? No one has gained the whole world. They say Bill Gates is the richest man, single man, and not single, is not being married, but just the richest man in the world at probably $80 billion. That's still just a grain of sand for what the whole world has. You know, and I'm quite sure they got trillionaires when you think of the Rothschild family and even probably the Bush families with what George Bush did in his presidency and the wickedness that so much was stolen and war is, and violence is big business like sin is. Can't even get into that. Only a fraction of what is in the world. And so you're giving your soul in exchange for a fraction of this world. You're going to want to give it back. Saints, you need to understand that your soul that has to stand before God and be approved of God is not worth nothing. It's not worth no one. It's not worth no place in this world. Don't set yourself in high places and come into pride and neglect your soul and your spirit and your relationship with Yah and compromise it for the God of this world and the things that he would have you to do in nakedness and lewdness and vulgarity without shame. See, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. The shame should be the unbeliever, the sinner man. They're not shamed, but now you got where the saints are not shamed for their condition and their state when we should always be ashamed. So in this, we say God is Psalms 18:2. I got a few minutes left. Psalms 18:2-5. Listen to this. This is where we draw strength, and it's not in and of ourselves, and not in the government. It's not in men. Listen. The Lord is my God and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. That is my strength. He is my shield. That is my shield. The horn of my salvation, meaning the strength of my salvation, and my high tower. God is. So are we in heavenly places in the Messiah? We're not in the heavenly places because men esteem us and put us on a pedestal. You know, we need to understand this. And then God is our Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. This is our God. Give us help from trouble. Vain is the help of man. When we look at Psalm 60:11, just that, vain is the help of men. Men can't do nothing about our salvation but make us lose it. But it says, give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of men. This is why you don't protest to men at the establishment. Protest against sin and let God fight for you. So, saints, it behooves us for my live streamers. Until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation above all else. It behooves us to trust in Yah. Let him be for our welfare and not a government system. You know, And it brings me even to Psalm 69:22 in closing. You know, it says, let their table, you know, David is crying in distress. He said, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been their welfare, let it become a trap. Welfare being their well-being. See, the world took this for Israel and it twisted it. And so this is why in this world that is racist and hateful towards black people, in America particularly, they associate welfare with the poverty of black people, and then black people become the face of their welfare system, because the black people had to rely on the God of this world. So they established a welfare system that was unjust, that was unfair, that would tell us that the man can't be in the household. It was breaking up families and just devastating to black communities. It was a welfare system. Now, we are the poster child of that system, but the truth be told, that Caucasians are beneficiaries of welfare system more than blacks could ever be. But they don't want that image, because they want welfare to look as though it's for a poor, stricken, a people, and, you know, all that they have demonized black people to be. Then they want that face of the welfare system to be that, when behind closed doors, it's really their condition as a people, and they are the most recipients of that system. But I only use that in closing for the parallel for what David says, you know, when it should have been a helpless, that which should have been for their well-being, it became a trap. And the welfare system designed to be for well-being, it has played itself to be a trap for us as a people. And rightfully so, because our salvation was in the God of this world. We made him our strength. We made him our protection. And so that when we have grievances, we cry out to him. And the responsibility of being like the Messiah, the responsibility of righteousness, of being godly, that is required to be in the Lord, and to be of God, and to separate ourselves, to come out of the culture and the religion and the ways of this world, the Gentile, European culture, to come out of it is vain worship of holidays and idolatry, adultery and sexual perversion and racism and hatred and anger, and everything that is against God is in this culture, embedded into the religion as well. But if we stay in it, then we have to protest to them, and they're not going to hear, and they're going to continue to exploit. But once we come out of their culture, once we're clean and separate and sanctified, and we come into the God of Israel, the true and living God, through the body of the Yeshua the Messiah, and take full advantage of the salvation that has been promised to us, that God will maintain for us and keep for us, that belongs for us, and we work it out with fear and trembling, meaning that we have a respect, but then we have a fear of the wrath of Yah to come, and we don't want to be on the receiving end of his judgment. When we fear that, when we think about, as the scripture said, of the wrath of God that is to come and to utterly destroy, that Yeshua is going to utterly destroy this earth with fire, and that humanity, the men that have followed Satan and his demons, into the lake of fire that was made for Satan and his demons, but hell has increased itself because men follow Satan in a demonic world, and so that they're going to get the same judgment. And when we think of just burning in eternity forever and ever and ever, just diving in a lake of fire, lava for that matter, just imagine diving into lava and then experiencing that burning and that agony and that pain forever and ever. See, that's the fear and trembling, that we don't want that. We don't want to be on that receiving end of God. We want his promises to be in his kingdom in peace and comfort, eternity with Yeshua. Then we begin to work out our own salvation with this mind, that I want to be saved from Yah's wrath to come. I don't want to be saved for his wrath to come. Beloved, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation above all else. Take care.